We're in the middle of chapter 33 on page Mem Beis, page 33. And we're speaking about developing an awareness of happiness, awareness of joy in our Avodas Hashem. So, the question was, well, how is a person going to bring about joy, simcha? You know, after all, this is one of the... Thank you. This is one of the classic questions. How does the Torah command emotion? It says, "V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha," you should love God. You should fear God. Can I command you to love or to fear? I mean, you feel, you love. You fear, you fear. There's no way I can, okay, fear time. Now it's love. Emotions don't work that way. If a person loves, he loves. If he fears, he fears. If he's happy, he's happy. So, it's explained in Chassidus and in other places as well. The commands are to bring yourself to a state where that love or fear will come naturally. In other words, that's why the command V'ahavta is preceded by Shema Yisrael, which speaks about God's unique bond to the Jewish people and His oneness. When you understand, Shema also doesn't mean just hear, but means listen, internalize. When you internalize and appreciate that there's a special connection between God and the Jewish people, that the world is one with God, when you're aware of these ideas, then by nature, almost immediately, without effort, you'll come to V'ahavta, you'll come to love. So the command, V'ahavta, you shall love, comes as a response and a continuation of bringing yourself to the mental state where love flows naturally, almost without effort. The same thing about the simcha we're speaking here in this chapter. Okay, time to be happy. You know, that's false. That's phony. That's one of the things which Chassidim were very much against, is external happiness just to sort of get things moving. Not in this context, but slightly different. It said that Rev Hillel, and I told this once here, Rev Hillel, had a hernia. Why did he have a hernia? He got it from controlling himself in his love for God. In his meditation before davening, all of his insides were churning with love. But wait, that's just simple emotion. But the Mikhlev had spoken that you can't just have simple animal-like love for God that have intellectual developed love. So he control himself so that love wouldn't flow naturally. But he had such inner love that it didn't want to flow, but it was controlling himself. He ended up getting a hernia from it. So, again, that type of chitsoni, any kind of chitsonious external emotion, like trying to get yourself into the mood, as it were, so let's sing and dance, was always looked down upon in Chabad. It's, you know, like, we're not Breslovers, not Chas V'Shalom, meaning to say anything against true Breslover Chassidim, but the common image of, like, you know, people looking for the party in the Torah world is just not who we are. Chabad emotion comes deeper, more much from a very inner core in your being. So, where does simple come from? So we explain. There's two points that I bring out in this chapter. The first point he says here, simcha comes from being aware that you're in God's world. And we spoke about this a little bit last week. Kind of just think about this. You're in God's world. Nothing, it's not that he's kind of watching over it occasionally. You know, he'll give you a hand if he wants to help you. No, it's his world. So if you're in his world and he's controlling every moment of it, it matters. That's a reason to be happy. And the more you're aware, and that's the whole point he's bringing out here, of how this world is one with him, how he's mamali kolam, the son of kolam, makolat kamet kol koshu. If he fulfills up the entire world, he transcends the entire world, and all the world is nothing before him, and all, him like the light of the sun in the sun itself, as we spoke about last week. It's all him. Is it possible then that I've got problems, that I've got difficulties? I mean, let's look at it from a simple situation. Kid's playing hide and go seek with his father. The father hides well, so the kid is like, "Where's Tati? He left me here." And the kid is almost in despair. Happens sometimes. You know something? That shows that the father and the kid didn't really have the right relationship. Because if they did, the kid would trust his father entirely and know that, well, he's got to go look for him. You know, he's hiding, must be hiding well. But there's no sense of that he left me. You trust your father. He's here. That idea that this is God's world, and therefore it's all for the good, just has to be not even, you know, like ingrained in the person's mentality. And when it is, you're happy just because it's God's world. I tell the story of Zusha way in the beginning when we started speaking about Simcha. That the guy came to the Magid and he asked, "How can you be happy if you have difficulties, you have problems?" He says, "Go see Rav Zusha." He went to Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha's health wasn't so great. Had no money, kids were wearing rags, there's no furniture in the house. And Rav Zusha is so happy. And he stays with Rav Zusha for a couple of days and says, "Thank you very much. He answered my question. The Magid sent me, and I asked the Magid how a person could be happy in the face of adversity, and he sent me to you." And Rav Zusha cut him off and says, "Wait a second. Why did he send me to me? I've never seen any adversity. It's all good." Where do you get that perspective when you realize that it's all God's world? So, again, Rav Zusha was a tzaddik, so he didn't need food, he didn't need... But when you do need, even when you do need, and therefore the lack bothers you a drop, lack is going to bother us a drop. And there's got to be the awareness that, hey, it's God's world. And therefore, it's presented. I'm comfortable. So that's the first conception of happiness.
Where are we holding?
Yeah, we're holding like about 60% down the page. Well, There's two dots in the middle of the page, and below the two dots, there's Kosh Kosh Barichus and a dot. On page 40, on page Membez, which is corresponding to page 83. Hine kishiyamik biza harbe, when a person will deepen his conception of this a lot, yismach libo vasogel napsha, his heart will be happy, his soul will be glad. And he will have joy and happiness with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his ma'od, all of his totality of his being with this faith. Ki rabahi, because it's great. Ki hi kirvas elokim mamash. This is the actual being closest to God. V'zeh kol od the matachas priyoso. And this is the whole purpose of man. Man and the ultimate purpose of his creation, Rias Kola Olamos, and the creation of the entire world, Elyonim Mitachtonim, the higher worlds and lower worlds, Rios Lo Dirazu Mitachtonim Moshkosu Makam Barichas, for there to be this dwelling for God in the lower world, as will be explained in depth later on. This is, by the way, this thing we just read is one of the. The last line is one of the 12 psukim that I wanted all kids to remember. It's a fundamental thing. When a person realizes that why did God create me? And why did God create the entire world? That he should have a dwelling here. It changes my whole perspective. I mean, think about it for a second. Why are most people unhappy? As we spoke from chapter 26 to 29. Because I'm lacking something. I feel bad. I feel I'm missing either something gashmius, either something ruchnius. When a person realizes that my existence and the existence of all the world isn't for me at all, but it's for God, suddenly my own lack isn't that important. Now, obviously, I've got to meet my bank account. I've got to have an emotional bank account. And, all the things that a person wants and needs to carry out life. So it's a big difference if that's what you're living for, or I'm living for God, and by the way, I need to take care of him, I need to eat. I gotta cover my back. There's people who get so focused and upset and nervous. I mean, it's strange. I know a guy who, unfortunately, he has a little bit of problems with Parnassa. If he's 1,000 shekel overdraft, he's getting all nervous. Now, for him, actually, it might be right that he should be concerned with it. He shouldn't be nervous, he should be concerned. There are people I know that they're 10,000 shekel overdraft and then they're upset. Because they've got more cash flow. Now, wait a second. Why is this guy uptight, nervous about his 1,000 shekel? Because he's into his own things. If he'd be able to stop for a moment and realize, your own situation, that isn't the be-all and end-all of existence. Oh, but by the way, you do have to cover your 1,000 shekel. But as long as you don't have the pressure and the nervousness and the tension, you just got to cover your 1,000 shekel, you can go do that. When it's an issue of pressure and nervousness and tension, that's when it gets to you and it's difficult. So, this is what we're speaking here. When a person, what's the key to happiness? Realizing that the ultimate purpose of this world is not for you, not for each one of us, because it's God's will. Okay, so that's point one. Point two is a second point, a further thing. Not only do we live in God's world, but He gives us the potential to relate to Him in a very personal, very close way. Now, as you do Torah mitzvahs, when a Yid carries out Torah mitzvahs, he's bonding with God. Just think of that for a second. Every mitzvah which we do, every word of Torah that we study, creates an eternal, everlasting bond between us and Him. And the more opportunity that I have for such a bond, the greater my happiness. That's the second aspect of happiness. The first is very simple, I'm living in God's world, so it's all okay. Second is a deeper thing. Not even living in God's world, it's all okay, but me and Him, we can have a relationship. I can study His Torah, do His mitzvahs, we're bonded. Let's see how the Alter Rebbe says that. V'hine, kama gadol l'simchas hedyot v'shofar noshim. How great is the happiness of a hedyot, means an ordinary person, v'shofar noshim, a low person, b'tkarvusu l'melch v'asav adom, when he draws close to a king, even a mortal king, v'tachsem v'daritom v'beso, and the king will dwell with him in his own house. Kavachomelen keis l'kivrus v'diras melch machayam lochi makodesh baruchu. How much more so does this apply when we realize that who's actually dwelling with us, not only a mortal king, but the King of Kings, God Himself. As it's written, who is he who will be bold enough to approach me, says God. In other words, that by doing mitzvahs, we're actually approaching God, as it were. This is, for this reason, the sages ordained that we give praise and thanks to God's name every morning, saying how happy, how fortunate we are, how good is our portion, how fine, how beautiful is our inheritance. Kolomar, k'moshu adam sos b'samech v'yerusha shnofalo hon atak shlo omobo. Cain v'yoser mikain land case yesh b'am l'smoch ha-simchas ha-yushusenu shinful ha-vasenu u'yichud Hashem ha-miti asher fil b'oratz ein od mubado. Just like a person is happy when an inheritance falls to him that he never worked on, how much more so should we be happy of our inheritance which our ancestors gave to us. This is the true oneness of God, that even on this earth there is nothing else besides from Him. Zeh dirasu b'tachtonim, and this is His dwelling in the lower worlds. Zeh shavar azal tar mitzvus yidn Yisrael boch abakuk v'midim al echash shnema v'tzadik v'menasa yichya. Our sages say there were 613 mitzvahs given to Israel. Habakkuk came and placed them, structured them all on one, as it says, a tzaddik will live by his faith. It's the Gemara in Makkos. The Gemara says the 613 mitzvahs, but we find various prophets who said, this is all it takes. You know, do this, 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 In Techabah, now this one has 11, this is 5, this is 3. And Chabakuk is 1. Tzadik Mamasa Yichya. Now, the simple way some people run the Gemara is, well, there were 613 mitzvahs, but now we have to have, you don't need all the actual performance of the mitzvahs, you just have to have these general paths of conduct. That isn't pshat, but we understand it, obviously. A mitzvah is a mitzvah, something eternal, everlasting, the Torah is unchangeable. So what does it mean? This one had 11, this one has 5, this one has 3, Chabakuk has 1. If you follow these 11, 5, 3, or 1 paths, all the 613 mitzvahs will come as a matter of course. You're not going to have to strain and worry and fetch for them. They'll just come naturally. When a person, in let's say Chabakuk, a tzaddik will live by his faith. When a person has this complete faith in God, that the whole world is his and there is nothing else but him here, mitzvahs come naturally. That's Tachbo Chabakuk Vamina Malachas. He says here, Kloma, Enu Rak Mitzvah Achas, V'yamunu Levada. It's as if there's only one mitzvah, just faith. Because through faith you'll come to fulfill all the other 630 mitzvahs. Hamonim lekim kol tarag mitzvahs yibayas b'chutz. When a person will be happy and be joyous in his faith and in the oneness of God, in the ultimate of simcha, as if this was all the only commandment that he had, and he realizes that the entire purpose of my creation and the creation of all the world is to have this oneness with God, his soul will have so much vitality and energy and happiness that there won't be anything that's going to stop him from doing the 613 mitzvahs, nothing from inside and nothing from outside. In other words, what stops us from doing a mitzvah? Either we have internal pressures or external pressures. But a person has a total awareness of God, then internal pressures, external pressures, doesn't matter. I'm living in God's world. Of course I'm going to do his mitzvahs. Could there be anything else? B'zeshu oma b'manosu yichya, yichya datka, chis amesim. And this is what it says, he will live by his faith, he'll live like the resurrection of the dead. I get excited when the people who put a big effort on the resurrection, big emphasis on the resurrection of the dead, here we put an emphasis on the resurrection of the living. Now the question is that you should live. There's so many people, you look through, especially even from community, or sometimes you could say especially from community, you walk down the street and you see these people living ghosts. You know, no energy, no vitality. Yeah, they're going through the mitzvahs, but you know, like, you know, where's the bounce in your step, the smile on your face, the glint in your eye, the things that make, hey, look, this is like real. When a person has the awareness that he's living in God's world, then just, this, I have a chance to this, a chance to that. And every moment is a wow. And That's Tchiyas HaChayim, making the living alive in a full sense. The Kach Tichya Nafshe V'Simcha Rabbezu, his soul become alive with this great happiness. He Simcha Kfula U'Mechufelos. It's a double dimension of Simcha. He Mubara Simcha Nefesh Hamaskas V'Kev L'Shem V'Dirasa Imo Yito Imo. Aside from the happiness of the soul, which is aware of the closeness of God and God's dwelling with him, Ozos Yismach V'Kif Laim V'Simchas Hashem V'Gol Nachas Ruach L'Fonav. Also, he'll have tremendous joy and pleasure in this faith, which this will subdue the Sitra Achra, Mishapach Lashochum Mahora, and transform darkness into light. Shechoshech Aklif B'Shalom Zachumik, Hamachashim Mechasim Al Oris Baruch Aren Kates. This is the darkness of Klipa in this physical world, which conceals and makes dark the dark God's light. Arei Kates, until the time of Mashiach. Moshkoz of Kates Som Lechoshech. As it says, there's an end to darkness. He placed an end to darkness. Arei Kates Hayamim. This refers to the end of days. Where the spirit of impurity will pass away from the earth, the niglat vod Hashem v'ro kol bosi yachta, and when the glory of God will be revealed, and all flesh will see together, k'mo shekasuv b'Tanach, we explained later on. In other words, the person, this is a second dimension of happiness which is mentioned, which is focused on here. When a person is in an environment of holiness and he appreciates the holiness, that's one thing. But what happens when you're living, good old dark America? I don't mean dark in a negative sense, but like America which doesn't, which conceals godliness, which people think the world lives on its own, and it's control, and it runs its own business. It's without any hand of God in the matter at all. And you live in such an environment with faith and awareness of God. The fact that you're able to transform that darkness to light just gives a totally added dimension of joy. It says, I saw an advantage to wisdom over foolishness, like the advantage of light over darkness. Yisrano or mitocha choshech. Now, so the simple pshat of the pasuk is, like I said, the advantage of light over darkness. But if you translate the Hebrew exactly, it says yisrano or mina choshech, the advantage of light is from the darkness. And that's what the Zohar picks on the pasuk and says, Yisron Or, the higher quality of light, is from the darkness, from the transformation of darkness of light to light. When you realize that there is no such thing as darkness, and not only a place which doesn't conceal light, but even a place which seemingly does conceal it, you can live with an awareness of God. And he says, in particular in the lands of the idolatrous nations, Shavirim Tomei, where even the actual air is impure. And this is Yochanan Rebbe is taking halacha concept and making it somewhat, and speaking in somewhat spiritual terms. The Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, in the time of the era of the Talmud, they were very careful with ritual impurity. But in Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora, they weren't. So first they said that anybody who steps on the earth of the diaspora is impure. Then they went even further and said, well, see, not even if you don't step, say you're riding in a carriage, so you're not stepping on the earth, but still you're in the space of the diaspora. Avira tame, its air, its space is impure. So the Alter Rebbe is taking that, and if you will focus it on the spiritual dimension of that, that the atmosphere itself is impure. And I'm speaking about it's not a terribly dark thing, but hey, like, just sense what's happening there. It's impure. When the previous Rebbe came to America for the second time in 1940, shortly after he came, he started a big campaign to study Mishnayos by heart. You know, if you ever worked in Lubavitch camps, they have this big program of studying Mishnayos by heart. It all stems back from the previous Rebbe's program in 1940. What did he say? He says, there's a problem with air pollution. After Taras HaAvir, purifying the air. Now, if you look at it, I mean, he could have actually been speaking about air pollution, you know, in a simple physical sense on one hand, but you know, it wasn't only that. It was, the main thrust was just, as it were, the emotional, spiritual climate of the place. And he's saying, by studying Torah, you can change that. But when you walk through the street and you're chazering Mishnayos, you're chazering a pasuk in Tillim, you're changing the nature of the air, of the environment. It was a really big thing, and you know, there's still, you know, lots of people today just like walk around. By the way, if you ever see pictures of the Rebbe, you know, walking down the street, his lips are always moving. Because he's chazering Mishnayos. Or something else. If you ever watch the picture of the Rebbe, like I remember this, it was like clear. And you'd see him walking, you know, walk from his house on Shabbos. You'd see him walk from his house to 770, or from 770 to his house. And his lips are moving. Just, you know, not like, you know, force, just this is what he did. Because it's part of this campaign to change the nature of the air. What do we mean? To instill a sense of spirituality there. So when a person senses that he's in a place of spiritual darkness, he's in a place where the general climate is one where people aren't sensitive to the spiritual, and yet he sees himself in God's world, that's the greatest happiness that could be. And he says, ain't simple if one of there's no greater happiness before him like the light and happiness that comes from the higher quality of light that comes from the darkness. And again, what's the word? Because this is God's world. And that's a whole different perspective on existence. I'm not living in a world of struggle. The mimer which the previous Rebbe gave out on the day of his passing is Basi Lagani. I came into my garden. Talk about the Shechina returning to the earth, the divine presence returning to this world. And this world is described as God's garden. And the Rebbe, I remember this section on the days. It's a beautiful sefer. Forget about all the depth of the mimer. Just take that first two words, Basi Lagani, I came from my garden. You have to understand, we're left in a tire of velt. We're living in a precious world, a world which God calls my garden. That's an amazing concept. You know, it isn't the dog-eat-dog reality. This is God's garden. The place, what's a garden? A place which gives you happiness and joy. And that's the nature of our world. So when a person, especially in a place where that isn't sent, where that isn't felt, is able to walk around with that type of consciousness, there isn't any greater happiness than that. This is the meaning of the verse that Israel will be happy in his Maker. Shekol mishu mizer Yisrael, everyone who is of the descendants of Israel, yesh lo b'smach b'simchas Hashem, he should be happy with, he should rejoice in God's happiness, asher sos b'sameach, because God is happy and rejoicing, b'diroso b'tachtoni, in his dwelling in the lower worlds. Again, this is also one of the 12 psukim which children are given to memorize. And just think about the amazing fundamental thing that every person should rejoice in the happiness of God. Just as God is happy in his dwelling in this world, we should be happy, aware that we're in God's dwelling. That this world is his place, and we're happy. We've been chosen to share it with him. God couldn't find a better roommate than us. That's an amazing thing. And that's a reason for happiness. So just like God is happy and rejoices in his world, Yismach Yisrael ba'osav, so Israel should rejoice in his Maker, every Jew should have absolute satisfaction and joy in the fact that he's living in God's world. This is what it means, ba'osav. So he uses the plural there. Sholom hasagashmi amolat tupas sitriachra nikur shus harabim. It says osav is plural. God is, as we're making a world where there is a lot of things, because we're living in a world which is filled of klipa and sitriachra, the Kabbalistic terms for evil. It's called the public domain, batur de pruda, and the separate mountains. In other words, it's a world which on the surface looks separate from God, but still a person will bring about his hapachon nahora, will transform this darkness to light, v'nasa reshus hayachid, and he'll make it into a private dwelling, a dwelling of one lehudu yisborach, for God's unity, b'munazu, in this faith. Was a person live in this world with the sense that this isn't, like I said, a dog eat dog reality. Oh, this thing and this thing and this thing, and I've got to all somehow get it together. No. You live with the awareness that it's God's world. Remember last week we started saying, why do we live? Can we say that everything is like the light of the sun in the sun itself? Because there is no reality outside of him. When I'm speaking about the sun and the solar system, so the sun is projecting its light outward millions and millions of miles, depending on how far you're getting. It's projecting to a reality that exists outside of himself, of itself. God is not projecting his light, his vitality, his energy to something which is different or apart from him. There is no reality outside of him. As the Medrash says, Hu makomo shel olam ve'ena olam makomo. He is the place of the world, and the world is not his place. In other words, it's not that, oh, there's the God of the world, that the world exists, and he's the God, the power that makes the world run. No, hu makomo shel olam, he is the place for the world, all the world exists in him, and it's all an expression of him. And when a person realizes that, he lives his life that way, first of all, for him it's the most joyous and satisfying experience. He goes about with a push of an uplifted spirit and the kind of chayas and vitality that, hey, that's a happy person, that's a real person. And it's catchy, because when you see a person with that kind of glint in his eye, you want to have it too.